Yes. Hey, man, welcome to the Money Flow Trading Society's podcast, Mastering the Trade. If you know anything about me, I believe life is a trade. And we're both on that journey, man. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to this podcast. Hey, I like to do this a lot. My second home is in the New Orleans, French Quarter of New Orleans, and there's always local music. So anytime you hear that little jam on my podcast here, that's me recording at a bar with my phone. So let's drop in, catch a little music, and then on with the show. Turn on this recording, man. We'll get people a... Your mic is off. Your mic is on. I start choking immediately, of course. Technology, man. What's going on, man? What's up, Nation? Man, if you've noticed, you know, we always want to try to see the big picture. Is an art, man. It's not really a science. People try to make it a science. Economists try to make it a science. And there's people that spend their life trying to figure it out. That's what they get paid to do. And, you know, they're right sometimes. Sometimes they're wrong. And not everything applies to us, man. You know, the world could be doing great and you're doing bad. The world could be doing bad and you're killing it. And I've seen that. I've lived through that. Where horrible times, and you know, either yourself or someone you know may be killing it, and you're doing great to the point you almost don't want to mention it because you feel bad. And you know, as we take that in, we're seeing the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. And it's easy on some of these things to extrapolate and just, you know, make pronouncements that there's so many moving parts, we can't know that. And even if that is the case, that doesn't blanket apply, doesn't apply everyone equally. You know, when I first started investing in the stock market was in like the year 2002. I had done it a little earlier, but I mean doing it in the sense that I was consciously aware and actively engaged in what I was doing. And in 2003, I bought my first rental property. May have been 2002. I don't have the papers in front of me. And my interest rate was 8.9%. I didn't know if that was good or bad. I didn't know to know. And, you know, advent of the internet now, everything moves so fast. You know, when I was doing that, I didn't listen to hedge fund managers. I don't know who Ray Dalio is. And there's some ignorance and bliss, man. Like, sometimes you don't know to be worried, you know? And you're, like, walking down the—you know, you ever do that? And they're like, oh, my God, you went through there? And you're like, yeah, why? And they're like, oh, no, you don't want to go there. That's a very dangerous spot. And I'm like, really? It was perfectly clear. And sometimes that's true. I mean, they're basing that off of either they heard it or they've personally experienced it. And it's like, if a dog bites you, you're scared of all dogs. And we all know, you know, everyone who's not been bitten by a dog knows it's pretty irrational. Like 99% of dogs are not going to bite you. Most dogs are just perfectly fine. But there's a, you know, and we can be scolded by that 1% chance. And then that somehow that begins to dictate our life and how we begin to make decisions based on these outlier events that have happened in our lives. You know, I was hurt by a man, so I can never trust a man. you know, I was hit in a car wreck, so I can't, you know, whatever the thing is. I remember once I met a lady who couldn't drive on the highway, and I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, no, I take side roads everywhere. So if she gets caught on the highway, it's a real problem. And I'm like, you know, you have a mental problem, right? But it doesn't matter. To her, that problem is real. And, you know, right now the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. And it's really just now hitting. These things take, there's a delay. So anything that enters the economy, the stock market may react immediately. But the real world, it's going to take time. Months and months and months. And then it'll actually go into effect. It takes time. You know, when they started printing money, it took time to go into the market. And Bitcoin started to run up, and, you know, meme stocks. And when money's easy and interest rates are low, you can take an NFT and run it to the moon, because money's free and money's easy and it's flowing. But the moment you constrict money, the game changes. And I don't want to say you're not going to get any, but you're going to get less and less and less runaway like that, you know, something that explodes in price, because you have less and less players that are available to play. And there's less and less money, because some people get bitten by the dog. And you're like, what do you mean? Meaning they're the one, they got bit, you know? And now it's like, okay, yeah, don't do that. Don't ever buy penny stock. One time I bought penny stocks and it went to fucking zero. Don't ever do that. And then you're like, yeah, but one time I bought one and it went up 5,000%, you know? And it's like, if you've never bought one that went up 5,000%, right? Which, oh, by the way, is the inverse to the guy that got bit by the dog. And you're like, what do you mean? And you go, meaning it once you've tasted that possibility, it can be luring, right? And now you're seeking the 1% possibility. The 1% chance that this goes up 1,000%, and you begin to make investing and living and decisions in life around the possibility of that massive explosion, just like some people do it to the opposite. In my new ebook, The Two Selves, I talk about that life is just filled with these polarities of, I love this person and I hate them at the same time. You ever experienced that? God, I hate this person, but I love them. And it's like, how the fuck do you explain that, you know? And it's like, there's so many of these things in the world, man. It's like, just when things are the worst is actually the best opportunity. And it, no matter how tough you are, no matter how much you think, see, it's easy to be tough when you don't have much. Let's say a guy just came into the stock market right now. He's like, yeah, bring it down. But if you had $2 million in last week and that was your first week to get in, you might not feel the same. Maybe you got bit by a dog. I'll tell you a true story. A friend of mine in 2003, the guy that shows me how to buy real estate, I go on vacation because God answers prayers through uncommon things, meaning you have to look around. There's stocks everywhere. Open your eyes. There are opportunities and wedges and ways to make money. A friend of mine, Tom, has a video out there. He's walking along with his little girl and the sidewalk ends. Now the little girl's his girlfriend's kid. And the sidewalk ends, and he looks to the left, and it's an overgrown lot. It looks like a lot, like in the city where there's houses, you know. You picture like Detroit or someplace where you see a lot of those abandoned lots and a bunch of houses, and then maybe there's a good house. Well, New Orleans is filled with these too, and it's just a lot. Hey, let me interrupt this podcast for just a second. Sometimes in life, you don't have necessarily the right people around you, or maybe you don't know who to trust, or sometimes when we seek counsel and we speak with people, they have a vested interest. And if you ask a man who cuts down trees, should we cut this tree, or a surgeon if we should have surgery, you know, they say to a carpenter, you know, to a man with a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So, but sometimes you just need another opinion. You just need an outside view, maybe someone who's done that before. And if you know anything about me, I'm 52 years old. I've traded in these markets for over 20 years. I've invested for over 20 years. I've run a handful of businesses and ideas and products and done a lot of marketing and entrepreneurship. And I think I can sometimes see people's life. And it's not as a financial advisor or some sort of life coach or anything like that. It's just maybe to give you a different perspective and just having some knowledge of life and pain and suffering, taxes and investments, and all these things can sometimes give you a different perspective. And if you need someone to talk to, I do this on a regular basis. I do these one-on-ones, and you can always book one with me. They're not that expensive. I make it worth my time, but not that expensive for you. I get a lot of good ideas for content and videos, so I get something out of it as well. And I enjoy doing it, and I've always gotten good feedback about it. And so if you would like to do that, if you would like to book a call with me, you know, 30 minutes to an hour, most calls I set aside for an hour, but if it doesn't take that long, it doesn't take that long. And I feel like I've saved people a lot of money. I think I've made some people a lot of money just because of an idea or a thought that maybe you didn't consider that could be tens and 20, you know, 100,000 plus, who knows? So if you'd like to book one of those calls, simply go to my website, geraldpeters.info, GeraldPeters.info. I'd love to speak with you. Maybe you've been following me for a day. Maybe you've been following me for 4 or 5 years. Let's book a call and let's talk about your situation. Back to the podcast. And it's kind of grown over and it's like, fuck, we don't even remember it. I don't know who lived there. Everybody's moved and gone. There's been a flood and things have changed. And 20 years later, the sidewalk, the grass grows over it. Well, Tom has skills. He's observant. He observes. And he gets on his phone and he looks up who owns it. Did you know you can do that? It's an actual skill set. Every fucking property on planet Earth, you can see who the owner is. And you could call them or email them. It'd be harder to do that, but you could. But you could write them a letter and you could say, hey, I'd like to have your property. And you could do this on any property. And so like yesterday, there was one and I didn't have time to show it on my story, but I keep driving it and I keep noticing it. It looks abandoned. It's been like 4 months now. And I'm like, what is going on with this house? So I get out of my car and I walk around it. Why? I don't even want to buy it. But I can smell it. There's something wrong. What's going on here? But can I stop my life to see it? Or are you too into your life to notice it? And those kind of things, it could be a stock from an interview, talking to a person who works at a company, or it could be that the sidewalk ended. The sidewalk ended. And he looked it up, and it was owned by a trust, and he wrote him a letter, and that letter was forwarded to a lady that was the only trustee, and her family had owned this years and years ago, and she'd kind of forgotten about it. And she said, yeah, why not? What would you give me for it? And he said, I'd give you $30,000. Well, the lots go for $90,000, and he bought the lot. She didn't want to look it up. She didn't give a fuck. Whatever she got was free money as far as she was concerned. Now, everyone in that town drives by that lot. But one guy walked past it, looked down, said, wow, there's a lot here. Looks it up, makes $60,000. And other people in that town said, man, you can't make money here, man. And I think on that, and I'm like, wow, how much money do I walk by? Jesus, how much stuff is around me? How many stocks? How many opportunities? How many distressed houses? And people who need money, who want money, go right past stress houses. Never occurs to them like, hey, this is distress. Maybe there's a problem. Maybe I could help them solve a problem, which is entrepreneurship, by the way, is solving problems. And so Facebook solved the problem of communication and Twitter seeks to solve a problem. And things that just entertain for a minute fade away because they didn't really solve a problem. If the way you solve a problem is just something they can get solved in a lot of ways, in a lot of places, it can be a fad. And so we could trade Bitcoin, we could trade whatever. You know, some are going to stay around. Bitcoin's been around, the others come and go. Nobody's talking about Dogecoin. Nobody's really talking about NFTs, right? A lot of stocks are going down. These things can come and go because they can be so easily replaced. You know, but at the core, there's things that you can't replace. Meaning you as a human being have to work and make money. And what you spend your time on is up to you. You choose that job by accepting the money to do the job. Now, circumstances could push us and location could limit us, but money's not limited. My friend made $60,000 out for a walk with his little kid, man. And you could go on with story after story like that. And Amazon delivers you a box, and yet you don't buy that stock. Every day they're like, here you go, here you go, here you fucking go, here you go, here you go, here you go. They just keep bringing them. And people are, I need a filter. I need to run a filter so I can find the stock. And we drive past houses that if you wrote them a letter, they would sell it to you. Most of the things in life, they're going to make you prosperous. They will not originate from your job. They won't come from your family. They won't probably come from your friends. You're going to seek them out. You're going to have your eyes open. You're going to have to be ever present. You're going to have to be in the here and the now on purpose with a plan. And when we see fear, what is the response? Like, let's plan that out right now. In the midst of it, you can't be like trying to figure out what the fuck am I going to do? It's too late. You're already a victim. Meaning we know the more we know about something. So when I bought houses, my first interest rate was 8.9%. I didn't know that was bad. Apparently they're telling us now it's bad. It's bad. Why? It's bad because of the price of houses. Meaning as they lowered the interest rates, the value of the houses went up. Because as you can get money cheaper, you can buy more house. And so if you facilitate people to buy more than they can afford based on rates, right? And that's how they kind of control the economy. And if you sit back and think about it, it's like, wow, that's pretty interesting. So if they want to stimulate things, they lower the rates. If they want to slow shit down, they raise the rates. Huh. That doesn't extrapolate that you're fucked, your family's gonna, like, no. It's not what it means. It means there's a repricing going on. In my new ebook, The Two Selves, I told you it's not about trading, but it is. I said, what? Money's the social agreement, man. Man, the faster you catch on to this as a young person, the you're gonna be light years ahead of older people. Most 40-year-olds are dumb as dirt when it comes to money. They're not dumb people. They just don't know shit. Dude, the guys my age don't know jack shit about money. All they know is how to spend it, how to eat it, how to have sex with it, how to drink it, how to consume it, where to spend it, what to buy with it. There's such consumers, they're blind. They can't even see it. They're in the fucking matrix and don't see it. And sometimes you have an event that shakes you and you wake up and you're like, fuck, dude, I'm in the matrix. And it's like, yeah, the system is pulling the strings, man. Like, this is a game of chess, man. And that's not all in, all out. Maybe that's the way you roll. It's not how I roll. Meaning I fully anticipate my assets go up and down. Right? So I know that. I know my housing prices could come down. Matter of fact, I had a realtor at the house I'm working on. And I called him over, and it's because I hadn't talked to the dude in a minute. I said, hey, how much could we sell this house for? I'm going to rent it next week. Give me a reason not to, baby. Let's make some money. I mean, I want to give you some money. Let's sell it. And he's like, I'm like, what do you think we could get? He walks around, comes back, does the layup. What'd you think? Fuck, man, if we want to know what I think, I don't need you, bro. He gave his cards up right there. I realize I don't need him. Goddamn, am I going to do the paperwork too? Am I going to show the people, like, are you going to be busy? Like, I gave you a window, you had your chance. And I said, what could we sell this for? He's a realtor. He couldn't give me a price. So either that's an insecurity because he's a young dude. He was a friend of my son's. And he's maybe intimidated talking to me. I don't know why. You know, I'm cool with the kid. But he couldn't give me a price. It's because he doesn't know. He doesn't know the real estate like I do. He thinks about other shit during the day. He's doing other things. While he's playing house, I'm buying houses. You get what I'm saying? And I showed him those signs. I said, you see those flags in the ground up there? He's like, yeah. I said, what is the blue one? And he's like, what do you mean? I said, well, look at that one. It's red. What do you think red is? And look at the yellow flag. What's the yellow flag? These are the utilities in the ground. Now, some of you are like, yeah, no shit. People don't know that. And I'm like, you think it's magic that this thing gets gas? That inside there, we have an HVAC system. And I'm like, bro, you got to break houses down. Step outside with me. Look at, what do you see? What are the entrances to the property? Big picture, break this down. You got to get out of the matrix. You're seeing paperwork. You're seeing us changing back. But, dude, how many doors into the house? Where are the windows? What type of roof is it? Do we have window units or an HVAC system? How old does that look like? Let's start breaking it down, man. It's not complicated. If we're going to learn about something, let's learn. I don't know what he's been learning for the last year, but nobody he works with has money. They just sell real estate. It's fucking ridiculous. It's a job, man. Now, I meet realtors all the time. They're loaded. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, right? But think about that. He couldn't give me a price. If we don't know the value of something in the exchange, if we don't know the value, everything starts with value, right? What's the value? What's the value? So as a landlord, what's my value? What's the most important thing? Is it the price of the home? Is it the percentage rate of the loan? What am I most concerned with? What do I start with? What's the one thing that makes it work? What's the one thing we need? Rent. Once we understand rent, we can back up. Well, let's take stocks. If we're in a growth stock and the government decided we don't want no growth. Matter of fact, we're aggressively moving against growth. We're going to shut it down. We're going to raise interest rates to slow you down. What is that going to hit? Speculative stocks, penny stocks first. You know, maybe some biotechs. But in there, remember, we can always have runaway sectors, okay? None of this is universally true. It's just general, right? Big cap growth, then that's going to spill over into small cap growth. That's going to spill over into tech stocks. Not all tech stocks are equal. Some tech stocks pay 3-4% dividend yields. So if we're collecting a dividend, what is a dividend? There's an issue date, right? There's an ex-dividend date. What happens on ex-dividend date? Like, this is what the realtor didn't know. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. Because there's people that have owned stocks a year, couldn't break down how dividends work. They don't know about the date, the announcement date, the dividend date, what actually. Like, they really don't understand that when that money comes out of that company, the fucking price adjusts the next day. So if Coca-Cola pays a $1 billion dividend, the value of the company drops by $1 billion. Yeah. Boom, money came out. So if they raise interest rates, it now costs more money to make a mortgage payment, which means your cash flow went down unless what? You can raise rents. Now, if you can raise rent $100 and your cost went up $100, it didn't affect you. You're like, what do you mean? It didn't affect you. So they raise it 1%. You're like, cool, I raised my rent. The cost of my loan is offset by the rent. If I can keep playing that game, they can do what they want. Raise it up, down, whatever, right? But what if it comes to a point where I can't do that, right? Now you're going to spill over into the rental game. But that's chasing the money, man. How are dividends paid? What's the possibility this stock can pay them? You might say, well, if they stop paying them, that's a bad thing. Not necessarily. It seems like a smart thing. I mean, if you can't make your fucking payments, here's an idea. So you get what I'm saying? Like if you find yourself in a recession and your customers have stopped coming and you have, you know, Perrier water shipped in for the office and you have snacks brought in on Tuesdays, well, that shit's cut. Everybody's still got a job. This stuff begins to trickle down. So the guy that delivers the snacks and the Perrier water, they just lost a customer, right? And as you think on this, start to think on it. What is the one shit that they have to do? Well, they got to pay the electric bill or they're not in business. So everyone's going to pay an electric bill. It'll be the last thing cut. Go look at electrical stocks. They went up. Why? Safe play, man. You're getting 5% yield safe. Safe play. Well, but that's not an NFT. Should you buy electrical stocks now? No. You needed to buy them when nobody was buying them, man. Meaning you got to get on the other side of this game going forward, man. And you got to see yourself that you're going to be in a lot of these contractions and expansions and contractions and expansions. No one is that goddamn important. You're going to keep having them. It's the fluctuation of price movement. Price is just a social agreement. What you make at your job, totally arbitrary. Meaning there's people that do what you do, probably make double. There's real estate agents that make $1 million a month. Thatch on YouTube makes $1 million a month as a real estate agent. You say, well, I can't do that. Why not? You know, he's a real estate agent with a phone. He took his phone, started talking to people. And unlike my agent who looked at me with fucking deer in the headlights look when I said, how much can we sell the house for? He fucking breaks it down on a whiteboard. Because he's also a real estate investor. So you want to be good at real estate? Be an investor too. Understand how much does commercial pay price per foot? Well, guess what? That's going to get reassessed if interest rates go higher. So he should be anticipating that. That means there's going to be some people that are in commercial leases due to the recession could lose them. But if my business is doing good, I can negotiate better rent. I can expand my business into that and get better prices because these other people are going to blow out the purge. People are going to blow out of stocks, guys. People are going to blow out. You could blow out with them or you could play chess. So I was buying oil when nobody wants oil. So when they want it, it's not even a conversation for me. That's not what's on sale. So I'm trying to think down the road, right? So I own a bunch of utility stocks, but I bought all mine way cheaper when nobody wanted them. What? When they were buying growth stocks, let's get 2 shares of Southern. Why? Because I'm playing the game for the entire lifetime. I'm going to die with these. And I imagine between now and my death, the market's going to do a lot of crazy shit. So I've sat back and realized that. So here I am, me, I'm walking. So my money's not going to come from a job. It's not coming from my spouse. It's coming from my own fucking awareness and watching the world around me. Right? And am I fearful? Why? Stop and fix that. Why am I fearful? I do this, man. Guys, I got a lot of property. I owe a lot of money to the bank. You know, I collect a lot of money, but if everyone decided not to pay me tomorrow, I got a real problem. What if all 17 just said no? How long could I go? And I run these scenarios out in my head. What would I do? You know, that's why I have so much money in the stock market. It's there to protect me. I'll liquidate every stock if I had to. If I had to, right? And so I'm looking at this as the total picture of the economy is going up and down. How do I play this smart? Like, I have to assume I'm going to win. I have to assume that over time things go up. I have to assume that things get better. And if that's the case, how do I capitalize on the situation that I find myself in? And so if stocks are going to go down and down and down and down, yeah, one move could be to get completely out. If you can time that in and out, good, do it. I found that too hard. I found that the way I made the most money in oil stocks was buying all stage ones. And the way that I grew my utility stocks to 6 figures is I bought all stage ones. All of them, and kept it. And the way I accumulated my real estate empire, to me it's an empire, next guy may not be much. The way I did it is one house at a time. So in 2003, I buy my first one. 2007, my friend sells his business, the guy that taught me real estate. He collects like $5.5 million, sells it to a REIT. REITs are buying up, he was in assisted living. He learned about real estate through his business in assisted living. And he got this money. The stock market was killing it up till 2007. It had been on a tear since the dot-com crash. He pushed $3.5 million from the settlement into 20 dividend stocks, and he's retiring. One day no money in the market. Next day, $3.5 million in dividend stocks, in 20 stocks the next day. So if I said to you, I got $3.5 million in dividend stocks, you think, oh, he must be smart. He don't know shit. Law of numbers is the oldest scam in the world. You just tell something a big number, man. Oh, it's going 5,000%. Oh, let me watch this video. Like, all you got to do is throw big numbers around. This was $8 million. And they're like, oh, Look, I made 10,000%. Okay. What does that mean? How much money was that? And if you can do that all the time, you're the greatest fucking trader of all time, man. Because the greatest trader of all time averages like 60% a year. And he has a quant, he has a degree from fucking Yale in mathematics. I meet a lot of traders that claim to trade as good as the most publicly recorded trader of all time, who had a degree in mathematics and taught at Harvard, Jim Collins. Or is it Simons? Simons or Collins? Okay. And that guy on YouTube claims to be as good as him. That's complete bullshit. Complete bullshit. Anybody making returns like that consistently would be a fucking billionaire in no time at all if you understand money. And so like my realtor, when I said, how much is this house going to go for? And he just looks at me. And I said, I want 170. He left, came back, tells me today. He's like, man, we can't do 170. Maybe 145, 150. He said, I replied back, if you see houses like this for 145, let me know. Even at a 6.5% mortgage rate, mortgage taxes and insurance with 20% down on a $140,000 house, in my area, your mortgage payment's about $760 a month. I rent the house for $1,050. And I paused with him too. What I'm waiting for is the great fucking enlightenment that I just gave him. And I said, bro, let me say it again. On a $140,000 house, the house that we're talking about, you're saying it's worth $140,000. I rent it for $1,050 a month. $1,050 a month. Now, I was renting it for $900, but I'm raising the rent to $1,050. You're saying it's worth $45,000, okay? If I put 20% down on $45,000, what is that? Right? It's about $30,000. So if I put $30,000 down on this house, I carry a note of $110,000. I got 1.2% taxes, you know, property taxes. They pay the school and all those other fucking scammers. So scammers get 1.2% on the value of the property. So against the 140. So if it sells for 140, you're going to pay 1.2% in scam tax to the local community, right? Say you pay for the kids that go to their stupid schools, all that stuff. And then they get a little cut. Everybody pays this, property taxes. And then we got insurance. $1,500 a year, right? Anyway, when we're done, that's seven. It comes out to like $750, man. I was like, "Do you see the spread there, bro? $750, $1,150. In how much is that?" And he said, $400. Does that sound right? And he was like, "What do you mean? I mean, we can just buy unlimited houses that cash flow at $400 a month. Does that sound right?" He's not getting it. And I'm like, well, dude, let's buy 100 of them. That's $40,000 a month. He's still not getting it. And he's, okay. Like you were walking down the street and you ran out of sidewalk. Like that meeting he's having with me, he's not getting it, man. And then as we're talking later, he's like telling me about, you know, I've been telling him you got to do more than one thing, man. Just being a realtor ain't going to cut it. You got to get a job, bro. Like 20 hours a week or a side hustle, something that's making money while you're a realtor. Nobody's just a realtor in the beginning. It's not how it works. And then I gave him the fucking formula of how to get rich, and it didn't click, right? And so he's spending his life now, I don't know. I don't know what he'll do. But I gave it to him. I gave it to him. Just like I gave it to my HVAC guy. So yesterday, they're finishing up my HVAC. And he says, would you consider owner financing this house? And I looked at him and I laughed. And I said, you've been on YouTube, man. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, I mean, owner finance, that's an unusual thing to be asked. That's usually what people like me ask. That's what sharks say. Best deal you can get is get the owner to carry the note. So remember when I said, you can look up any property and see who's paying the taxes. You write them a letter and say, I'd like to buy your property. You could enclose even a little form that says, you know, make where they can write down their price. You could even create terms and you could say to them, listen, you're not using it anyway. It's abandoned. Why don't I do this? Let me give you $30,000 cash. I'll run the rest out on a 10-year, 15, 20. How long you want to get paid? Like, I could pay you or pay the bank. I'd rather pay you. What rate would you like? 8%, 9%? What do you want to, just And they're like, whatever. As long, like, it could be 10%. As long as the cash flow works, you give them 30, they're not running a credit check on you most of the time. They carry the note. And if you guys do it legally and you're in a title company, you get the deed to the property. They carry the, you know, they have the override on it. And legally, it's all legal. And if you don't pay them, they can file suit. The sheriff in my area would kick you out the property. They would get control back of the property and they could do it again. And so there's people, if you approach them, all they can say is fucking no. All you can do is not try. All you can do is not look it up. So you'll just walk past, drive past fucking millions of dollars your whole life, probably billions and billions and fucking billions, and never stop and ask, can I have that? I do it all the time. How much was this building? I'll just ask them. You want to sell it? I mean, everyone you meet, you should ask them. You want to sell your house? Just while you're sitting there talking. At some price, this is valuable. At some price, any piece of property is valuable. So a lot of times that people live in, well, it's too expensive in my area. Really? You asked everyone? Meaning, you're not going to go to a... If you think realtors are bringing you properties, you're in the wrong game, man. That's not how it works. Like, they might bring you one or two, but that's for amateurs, man. Sharks aren't waiting for realtors. Fuck, man, I got to let her do her hair, get her shit dressed, meet me over there. I ain't got time for that, man. I need to look at a bunch of deals, man. Like I'm going to contact people. I go right to the selling realtor. Yeah, you can have both sides of the trade. I don't give a fuck. I want the property, man. I don't need a realtor. Right? I don't need it unless they're going to bring me something. But most of them are going to do what my friend did and just look at you, you know? Because I don't want to buy stuff that's overpriced. I'm, you know, if I'm looking for a personal home for myself and I don't know the area, yeah, great, get a realtor. Right? But well, here's what I'd rather do. Study the area for 3 months. Get on YouTube and look. Go visit it. Walk streets, man. Start calculating. Go inside. Look how much this costs to lease right here. And then walk around the place and get to know rents. You see me doing this in New Orleans. I post it. What am I doing? I'm going to buy a fucking building, guys. It's going to take a good year, man. I got to walk properties. I got to see. I don't know what's a good deal or not. I got to figure out value. How much is this worth? Not what the fuck the realtor says or what's on the MLS. What is it worth to me as an investor? What are the rents? What can I get? There's a number that when they cross each other, this is time to go. So a lot of people that are waiting, they don't know the fuck they're waiting on because they don't understand value, how to even calculate it or what the rents are. So you don't know if it's good or bad. What are you going to wait for TV to tell you? You're going to wait for a realtor? Some dude on YouTube? The way you know that is you get into that. And the way you learn about dividend stocks, you start acquiring dividend stocks, right? Start collecting dividends. I post mine. What is that? You know? Don't let the news scare you, man. Use that shit. This could grind out for 2 years. You're going to put money in, goes down. Put money in, goes down. 2 years later, you think you're still pumped? Not many are, man. Not many are. They get sad. It'll just grind on you. It'll grind on you. I was watching a thing today and they were kind of bragging. If you, you know, and on one hand it's true, you know, a $600,000 home, your mortgage is 2.5%, you're locked in. It's like, okay, you got it financed, you got a good rate, nice. You know, nice, right? And today's rate, the same amount of money would buy you a $380,000 home. That's the difference, guys. It's huge. Well, guess what that does? That means there's less and less buyers for a $600,000 home. Now, if you're not a seller, this ain't no big deal. But what if you now have a $600,000 home financed for 30 years and the value falls to 490? So you're financed at 600, but the value is 490. That'll start to fuck with people. And they're like, oh, you've been offered a new job over here. I can't take that job. Why? I got to sell my $600,000 house for $520. I'm going to take an $80,000 loss, dude. But you got a 2.5% loan. Now they can't move. They're trapped. You can be house trapped, man. You start to make decisions around an asset that you feed. Yeah, you feed it. It doesn't give you money. See, on a rental property, they'll pay me. I could be in Hawaii. They'll pay me on the first. That's not how a personal home works. is money in, right? So I got a second home. I got three houses just for me. It's money in, you know, that's seven refrigerators. What is that? Eight toilets, three, nine bedrooms, 10 bedrooms. Like, that's ridiculous. All of them need sheets. All of them need the floor mounted. All of them need electricity. All of them need insurance, flood insurance. Start adding it up. That's just money being sucked in. That's not invested. It is in the asset itself, and we got to protect it. But in the meantime, you're putting money in, right? Well, my HVAC guy, when I met, he's got a beautiful home. He owns an HVAC business. I met him years and years and years and years ago. We on Campfire Real Estate last night, we're talking about Campfire Real Estate last night. Sorry, someone called in. We were talking about, on Campfire Real Estate, we're talking about, fuck, I just lost my train of thought. My buddy Robert called in. If you don't follow Robert Biggerstaff, you should. I do coaching calls with Robert, meaning I'm coaching him. Guy's a killer, man. Collects. We've been trying to get him to $30,000 a month in rent collection. He just closed on a 5-unit deal. That's going to push him to the 30, but got to get it remodeled now. You think, might think, why would a guy like that need coaching? Shit, he needs people in his ear, man. There's a lot of responsibility. We're going into recession. He's got 5 units to upgrade now. He's got his job, his business, his family relations. He needs the right, you know, he needs to make sure he's playing chess, man. And you need too, man. And it starts in the morning when you wake up. How much money do you got going the wrong way? And if you got debt, we got to kill it, man. You got to kill it. And if you're balling out, you got to kill it. So my HVAC guy, when I'm talking to him and he asked me about the owner financing, he's got a nice home. They sold it, moved into a travel trailer, bought some land. They're going to build on it. So think of that. He got out of his house. I'm like, why didn't you rent it, bro? This is just stupid on stupid. But this is what the average people do. This is what people do, man. They're not in the money game. It's just what's easiest, what's the smoothest, what'll make this work better. It's not what'll make me the richest. It's what's the easiest. So he sold his house to then pay cash for this land. Now live in a travel trailer that they had to buy because then later on they can use that for hunting. Now they're going to build a house from scratch, but labor problems now. Interest rates are going higher. This has got a lot more complicated, but we're living in a fifth wheel now, right? So on one hand, you're like, well, my living expenses are down. It's like, okay. They got almost no money. They got like $100,000 in stocks after 22 years of being an electrician. And I was like, he asked me about owner finance, said he was thinking about getting in real estate investing. And I just look at him and I'm like, bro, what do you think I do? For 20 years of your life, you've worked on my houses. You know, there's a bunch of them. What do you think I do? You know, what? And I start talking to him, you know, because of the way he was approaching me. I mean, owner finance is a good idea. And I was like, no, I'm not owner financing you this. This is a money machine for me here. I'm not selling it. I was like, do the math. I can tell you if it's a valuable exchange. And he's like, okay, do I want to exchange $1,050 a month drip? Now that's gross. For $145,000. Because if my realtors tell me I can only get $145, I'm like, well, fuck, that's a $700-something mortgage payment. And if I can release it for $1,100, that's the game I'm in. So I'm not going to sell it in reverse. You meaning I would be buying these at $145 and renting them for $1,100. That's the fucking game. So according to you, we can do this unlimitedly. That's what I told my realtor. And he goes, well, I don't know about that. Well, that's the value you just gave me because the way I value it's based on rent. But here's the thing about residential real estate. It's not based on rent. Commercial real estate is valued based on rent. Residential is based on supply and demand. That pendulum can swing. And so you could have a point in time where, in some areas, where it is cheaper. I mean, the prices of the houses come down and it's cheaper to own than to rent. But here's the kicker. They jack the interest rates up when that happens. It's crazy. And now rents are going up, right? Now rents are going up, man. So if a guy had money in my area, you can buy $300-$400 cash flow, just house after house, man. The area's filled with them. Probably in some of your areas too, man. And if it's not now, it will be. And you're going to pay a higher rate, but you got to have the money. Here's the thing. My electrician doesn't have the money. And I'm like, what do you mean? They got less than $100,000 in stock market. He has no clue what that's in. That's it. The rest of their money's in their house. A couple kids. You know, he's like, you know, we vacation every year. He's like, I got my airboat. I just had to drop $4,000 into a new engine on my airboat. And I'm like, so you got an airboat? Which I like airboats. Airboats are cool. He's got, you know, a travel trailer. Travel trailers are cool. I like travel trailers. I used to have an RV. He's got trucks. Trucks are cool. I got a truck. He's got land, right? Paid cash for it. But are you seeing a theme here? It's all depreciable assets. Trucks are cool. They go to zero. Airboats are cool. They go to zero. Vacations are cool. They all go to zero, right? Everything you bought for the kids goes to zero. And it's not that you can't do this. He's just not consciously aware that everything he's doing goes to zero. All of his work ethic, zero. I was like, bro, there's no... He doesn't own the business. He doesn't own the building his business is in. And I'm like, that's your play, man. You need to own the business, the building your business is in. That's your real estate investment as a business owner. But each of these plays are done in convenience. What makes life easier today? What's the easiest to get done, right? He's working hard, dude, 10, 12 hours a day. Do you think that's fair? Like, he's working physically hard, crawling through attics in fucking Texas. You know how hot it is? Hanging this, hooking this up. He's been doing that since I met him when he was 19. I'm 52 at the time then. No, he was 22. I was 32. I'm 10 years older. He's now 42. I'm now 52. Right? So we've been aging. And he's worked hard, man. Way harder than I do, physically. I think. Crawling through attics? Fuck that. That's why I hire him. You know? Same for my plumbers, my electricians, all the people around me, man. And it's not that they didn't have money. You know? He just, after he's done working, he was tired and he wanted to go on the airboat. Nothing wrong with that. But if that's what you do, you know, I mean, you're going to get to a point where it's like, now what? Now the values change, right? So everybody has a set of values in life. And when you go down the list of values, and I say, well, why don't you just get rid of the airboat for now and get a couple properties and then use the property to buy an airboat, man. Like, you're doing it in reverse, bro. I was like, you know, I don't want to buy a lake house for myself right away. I want to buy like 20 houses. I want to buy a bunch of houses and let them buy me a lake house. Get what I'm saying? So all we got to do is prioritize it. We want to get those same things. I want to go on a lot of vacations, but I want to reverse it, man. I don't want to go on a lot in the beginning. I want to live on vacation on the ladder. And all you're doing is just priorities. You're just reversing it. Now, here's the other thing. He didn't have any joy in making money. Like, there's no joy in that. He equates making money with hard physical labor because he's in the trades. He's got to climb up in there, you know. What he doesn't have is leverage. He has one or two people working for him. Well, if you run a business and you got one or two, you're doing everything. When they call in sick, that's on you. And the only way out of that scenario is a certain amount of the money you make has got to be invested. And there's only three things you can invest in: stocks, businesses, or real estate. You already have a business. So when Robert Kiyosaki, in his famous book, Think and Grow Rich, I'm not a big fan of the dude, but that book was fucking amazing. And the book, Cashflow Quadrant, amazing. And it explains to you this setup, man. The E, the B, the I, and the S, right? Or the E, I said it wrong, but it's employee, self-employed, business owner, investor. All three quadrants got to get to I. If you don't get to I, you die fucking broke, period. Any fucking excuse you have, you die broke. So we have to acknowledge that, man. And then we got, okay, if that's the highest priority, back up, man. Back up. Man, so much happens in time. And get around, man, I won't go forever here. I'm already late for a call. Get around people However you do this. You may be in a spot, maybe you're young. It's going to be hard. Like if you're like 20, it's hard for me to take you serious. And that's fair for me to say that because you may be super serious. And that's fine. Good. But nobody's going to believe you for about 3 years. You get what I'm saying? So I tried to explain to my 20-year-old friend selling real estate. I'm like, dude, nobody's letting you sell a bunch of real estate, man. You're fucking 20. You're stupid. And I don't mean intellectually. You know things, man. But bro, other things guide you. Like you don't know real estate like I know real estate. So it's hard for me to take you serious. It's going to take time. But what'll make people take you serious is you don't stop, bro. You just keep doing it. And you're like, oh, you working in Home Depot now? And he's like, yeah, well, you know, real estate's slow right now. So, you know, we got some listings I'm out doing. And I'm like, bro, you can work in Home Depot while being a realtor and you should be doing letter campaigns, physically fucking writing letters every day. Like, fuck, man. And he's like, what do you mean? Dude, get in your car and drive around and find the shitty houses. I just showed you on paper that if you put 20% down, it's $700 and something a month for this house that you want to sell for $145. You can rent it for $1,100 all day. You don't see that? That's your fucking golden ticket. If that is true, there's money out there and you're a realtor, they would like to buy those houses. So what if you got a big fucking list of them? Then all you got to do is get in front of investors, man. Or go play games with your friends. That's what he's doing, man. On Thursday night, they're up there doing fucking, he's watching high school football. What the fuck are you doing? You're not a kid, bro. Get in your car and drive around and find every decapitated house and see who owns it. And go talk to that person and say, hey, I'm a realtor. Your house here, man, looks like it's in trouble. And I said, I promise you, if you do this every day, find 10, 15 every day. Our town only has 14,000 houses. You're going to literally know all of them. Keep working at Home Depot. Start the letter writing campaign. And when you get these projects, in the meantime, now you're going to go look for money. And you don't need the money. You're finding the people. You're like, hey, I'm a realtor. I happen to be in an area where cash flowing is not that complicated. Would you like to... Are you interested? If you are, hit me up. And I'm like, now you're working at Home Depot, but you're going to buy ads on Zillow. So as an investor, when I'm scanning this town, because these it won't be a secret long. I'm not the only guy that can do the math that I just did with him. I'm like, you're telling me this is $145,000. He's like, yeah. Okay. But you realize rents just went up. Yeah. So you see the margin spread there. They don't see it. He's thinking about the little $6,000 check he's going to get for selling this property. That's fucking chump change. He'll get $1.1 million if he owns it for 30 years. Can't see that, man. So here's what'll happen. He'll blow out of being a realtor, which could have been the most lucrative money. It's unfucking limited. The money you can make is unlimited. And if you're 20 and it's not even your money, meaning, if you just know real estate, there's dudes that'll give you money because they need deals. They don't know your area. So if they call you on the phone, you're like, yeah, man, I got a blah, 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 blah. They'll be like, cool, I'll be there tomorrow. And then all you got to do is one deal with them. And then that dude's going to be like, hey, can you do about 30 more of these? And I'm like, bro, but they're not going to do it with a kid. We're going in a recession. You're watching fucking football. He's going to get eaten. And purged out. He's not going to be a realtor in a year from now. I know that, man. You know, and if he is, he'll be a broke one. You know, like I can break down what he needs to do for his business model, but I can't make him do it. I can look at Robert and tell him, bro, this is how you get to 50, man. Like with your resources, what you have, what you're doing, you already know, man. You just need to be on the push, right? He needs someone pushing on him. Every one of you are in a spot, you're in a place, you have a certain amount of money, you have a skill set, you have assets around you. And you have to ask yourself, what are my assets around me? What if we go into a two-year bear market? What is my plan? Is my plan to do stocks or is my plan to do real estate? Or am I going to do a combination of both like Gerald does? And if you do, then you got to be patient. You got to organize that, and you got to set that up, and you got to map that out. What's that look like? Okay. Where are you at next year? So if we're doing some real estate, stop fucking bullshitting. Everybody bullshits. Push on that shit. Put in offers that are going to get turned down. You're like, what do you mean? They're going to turn you down. It's too low. Like, piss people off, man. Call the realtor. Like, just go do it. Like, push on it. You're probably not going to get the deal anyway. But like I told my friend, the more you do that, I was like, bro, if you found decapitated houses every day, wrote down their address, and on Friday, you put them into a thing, you handwrite on the envelope, you print out your letter, you sign it. You can have a printed letter. You sign it. You send them. You track who you sent it to. When they start calling back, right, you just look in your book, find their name, right? And if you do it alphabetical, when they call, you'll be like, what's your name, sir? And they're like, John. And they're like, oh, at 317, you got my letter? Yeah. If he does that every fucking day, what do you think happens 3 months in? Plus he's out knocking doors, shaking hands. You find a guy and you look and he's got 13 properties. Write him a letter. I see you got 13 properties. You interested in selling some? I got a guy looking to buy 13. You get what I'm saying? And he pushes and pushes and pushes on that, man. That's how you become success. I mean, but I can't do it for him, you know? You can do that, though. I mean, you know, fucking realtor. You don't need to fucking wait on realtors. You don't need to wait on brokers. You don't need to wait on any of these people, man. They're not going to tell you shit. A home inspector. What the fuck does he know? You know, an insurance person. They don't know. They're just selling the shit they were told to sell. Most of them don't even know it. You think that home inspector owns a bunch of property? He don't own shit. Everyone owns nothing. Go look around and ask. Just ask people, how much do you have? And you're like, what do you mean? How many houses do you own? None. Ask people, man. Most of the people you're surrounded around are broke. They don't own anything. Very few, like 7% of this country owns everything. And that's the people walking down the street with their kid and the sidewalk ends. And they're like, what? And they look over and see a lot. And they see $60,000. I got a friend. He lives in a very expensive area. And the houses were, you go to garage sales. You know why they might be moving. Are you selling the house? That's the first thing I ask. I don't give a fuck about your junk in the yard. Are you selling the house? And they'll just be like, no. Or my husband got relocated. It's like, oh, we have a realtor. What's his name or her name? Like, lean on that, man. And then call them. Hey, man, I'm over here at a garage sale. They said you're the realtor. How much are you guys asking for this? Really? Huh. So I had a buddy. He's at a garage sale. Like, if you're like this all the time, just everywhere you go. When I go into a bar, I look up the building. And if I'm really bored, I'm in there by myself, like in New Orleans, I'll look up who owns it, who's paying the taxes on it. And then I think, wow, I wonder how much money they make in this building. And if you just do that, money comes to you, guys, because you're attracting it. What you think about comes about. What you focus on grows. Okay, so that formula plays out. And if you're looking for tickers, they're everywhere. Guys that need to run, I got to run a filters because you don't follow fucking stocks. You're doing something else. You have a different higher value. You're spending your time doing that. And that's fine. That's fine. But they're playing a different game, man. They're not in tune like you're in tune. Okay, so if you're a realtor, be that realtor that's in that tune, man. That's in that, man. Like, man, so much money can be made as a realtor that's left on the table because they do it the retail way. Every realtor should be fucking rich in real estate, man. Start hunting people down. Do owner finance with them. There's all kinds of shit you can do. Manage properties for people. When I'm in New Orleans, I work for free with construction people. Have you ever seen that on my story? Meaning I met, you think it's a random occurrence? The people that I hooked up with work on houses? No. So the dude that I'm working with, he's a painter. I don't have anything to paint right now. Can I paint with you? You're like, what do you mean? I paint for free. Why would I do that? I now know painters. I know where he buys his paint. He's taking me on things. We went and had lunch. Guess who I'm going to call when I get my building and needs painting? The guy that I used to volunteer to work with. But then guess what? He knows people. So when I needed this guy, he's like, oh, I know a dude, man. Well, why would he tell me? Because I work free for him. I'm like, you're not going to be bossing me around and shit, but let me work with you guys today. I got nothing else to do. Like, what you get, dude, I say this all the time, what you'll do for free is what'll pay you the most. And I've gotten to know them, so it's fun to kind of hang out. And the other day, they're building a deck. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? You're building a deck? You don't call me? And he's like, why would I call you? And I'm like, dude, I like building decks. So the last time I'm over there, they go to pay. I'm like, no, I don't need money, bro. I'm rich. I keep trying to explain this to you. I don't need your money. I just like houses. So now I'm in the Metairie. I never been to the Metairie. You just drove me around. Now, and while we're there working on it, I'm pulling up, looking at it. And I'm like, you know, these houses, and I'm fine. If I wouldn't have left my house in the quarter, I wouldn't have been able to do that. So now I'm on the street. I'm walking around. I'm walking in some houses because I'm allowed to be in the yard now because I'm with the guys painting it. And I'm looking up and I'm pulling up what are rents, right? So what am I doing? Learning the city. Well, who gives a fuck if I give up a day, go hang out with some guys? I got three contacts. I wrote it down in my book. Hey, I call my wife. Hey, that he says this dude Ortiz is really good at tile. Oh, okay, cool. Put him in the database. We're not calling him right now. I ain't got no tile work right now, but I might. In a year from now, Ortiz will probably still be doing it. You see what I'm saying? Meaning the shit I that's all free, guys. Nobody paid me to do that. Nobody pays me to write a book. Nobody pays me to do this. Nobody paid me to come on Twitter. Nobody pays me to podcast or to post. Well, IG pays now with subscription. You get what I'm saying? But that started free. The shit you do free is what will make you rich. Being a realtor, you're not going to get rich from commissions. That's not what's going to get you rich, man. What's going to get you rich is what you do with the commissions, which nobody's going to pay you to do. Nobody's going to pay you to go look for properties. But realtors get paid to go look for properties. That's why they ain't got much money. They only look at real estate because they're getting paid. Nobody pays me. If you let this concept sink in, it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. And I don't know how you apply it in your life. I don't know. I don't know what that looks like for you, man. I don't know. I know this. You got to use your job. Do not be used by it. If you fucking need them, you're being used. Position yourself where you don't need them. You will be a much better employee. If you're a salesman and you don't need to make the sale, you will sell with confidence and maybe even a little bit of an arrogance to yourself, right? But if you need this sell, it's desperate. I don't need my stock money right now. So I get to take advantage of this. Maybe we get a 2-year downturn. To be honest, long picture, that's probably the best thing that could happen to me. I'm 52 years old. If I could catch a 2 or 3 year recession and I keep making money, and I keep banging it, adding and buying. And then we turn and then, well, hey, we got to lower interest rates to stimulate the economy. Let's go. I'm already there. I'm already positioned. Let's go, baby. Let's go. You get what I'm saying? So we got to be ahead of this game, man. We got to be ahead of this game. You got to be, it's shit for free. Your number one priority right now, kill debt and get skills. Skills. So my young realtor friend who's got time to go watch football, but he doesn't know how to skip trace houses. He has no fucking skills that are valuable to anybody who has money. If you get skills that are valuable to people that have money, you will get rich. It is super simple. You need skills. Skills is what you need, not knowledge. You don't need fucking know about history. You need skills. So your priority, skills, eliminate debt, create income streams. It's not investing in stocks. Now, if you got skills, you got income streams, then it's investing in stocks. But don't get this upside down. Like if your income's not good right now,
All right, man. Big thank you to everyone who makes it to the end. I know these are long at times. I've asked followers in the past, would you, you know, prefer that I broke them up and drop a 30-minute podcast? I'd rather drop less podcasts and drop the full talk, and then you can just listen as you go. I know it takes me a couple days sometimes to finish a YouTube video as I rotate through different videos at different times when I'm doing different activities. And I hope that's what this is. My only point is to encourage you, to motivate you, hopefully to inspire you, maybe give you a couple ideas on what you can do for your life. I appreciate you. I give you this, man. You inspire me. I appreciate everybody in the Money Flow Trading Society, MFG, huge motivation to me to stay the course, to help keep you, to be that voice in your head, to keep you pointed, man. You got everything you need inside of you to be more, to do more, to have more. God bless.